is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine crisis. The nuclear umbrella of the 20th century in the 21st century. The doctrine known as mutually assured destruction, MAD. These topics and more in Cliff May, founder and president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, op-ed most recently at the Washington Times. Cliff, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. To review, what was MAD, M-A-D, and how did it work in the first Cold War? Good evening.
Good evening. It was mutually assured destruction. It was a decision to be vulnerable to our enemies rather than try to be invulnerable. It was based on the idea that if one side, this was really, it was really thought of as the U.S. and the Soviet Union, if one side should strike first, the other side would have the capability to respond and not block the missiles coming in. And so both sides would suffer terrible nuclear devastation, and neither side would benefit from going first. And so based on the idea that both sides were rational, both sides wanted to prevent that from happening, mutually assured destruction was considered better than one side or the other attempting to be invulnerable to attack and therefore having any incentive whatsoever to go first. In other words, it was trying to say, let's set it up so nuclear warfare is a lose-lose proposition.
And you report that you learned this in graduate school. You studied it. It was an historical and political science pursuit. Nothing ironic about it, correct? Despite its acronym.
No. Quite the contrary. When I was in graduate school, I was at the Russian Institute at Columbia University. I was at the School of International Affairs. A lot of what we were studying was arms control and the variant. And this was a political science subject. And it was considered a great achievement of diplomacy that we figured out that we were safer if we were more vulnerable rather than less vulnerable. And I would add this, that I thought, wow, this is sort of paradoxical and this is interesting. I didn't think it was crazy. And it was less crazy then than it has become for the following reason. I spent a fair amount of time as an exchange student in the Soviet Union, and I thought, I came to the conclusion, I didn't come there right away, that the men in the Kremlin were evil but not irrational, and they had a very fresh memory of World War II, and the peoples of Russia and the Soviet Union, they suffered horribly, and I thought they do not want to repeat that. That's pretty clear. So it was rational to have MAD as the policy at that point.
These days, nuclear weapons are now part of a conversation. So I'm exploring where the thinking about nuclear weapons comes from and how it needs or can be updated today and how it can be applied again for the national security of the United States, our allies, and the planet. There are two movies that I recommend to the younger members of our audience, Cliff. You and I watched them as young men. Both released in 1964, a critical year because it was following the assassination of President Kennedy and the beginning of the recreation of the American dreams. We know it as civil rights. We also know the conflict in Vietnam. But at that time, nuclear weapons were also part of the conversation. The idea that the apocalypse was imminent, that a mistake could end civilization as we know it. The joke we told at the time, Cliff, was we don't know who will fight the Third World War, but we know the Fourth War will be fought with stones and rocks. That's the way we talked about it. But these two movies I recommend, and I want your reflections on them, Cliff, because we're back to the future here. One, Dr. Strangelove and How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. This is a black comedy, black farce at the moment. Peter Sellers starred in several roles. It was directed by Stanley Kubrick. The other, very gray, very serious, directed by Sidney Lumet, called Fail Safe, with Walter Matthau and Dan O'Herlihy. And what we're looking at here is the grave approach. Both are dealing with MAD, mutually assured destruction. Both end the same way. There's an exchange of nuclear weapons. In the Fail Safe instance, Moscow and New York are destroyed one afternoon. In the Dr. Strangelove situation, the whole world is destroyed mutually. Those movies taught us that this is very serious business. Are they out of memory, Cliff, in your measure? Do they no longer inform the policymakers, the much younger policymakers in Washington today?
Well, I think the younger policymakers and the current policymakers are not thinking through the current state of the problem as they should be, which is the theme of my piece, particularly because of a couple of things. One is Putin is not the same as those characters in the Kremlin that I mentioned to you before. It's much more personal with him. And it is absolutely conceivable, even now, and as we speak about this, it seems very possible that Putin may say, okay, I'm not going to try to take over the entire country. I'm going to take over the eastern portion, and we'll see. But he has nuclear weapons. He has threatened essentially to use them. He has more tactical nuclear weapons by a factor about 10 than we do. One thing that has been a worry is that he'd use those nuclear weapons as a way of saying, I can do more. Second, China has a huge nuclear arsenal, and it appears that the U.S. negotiators in Vienna are about to give to the Islamic Republic of Iran a pathway to acquire nuclear weapons while insisting, no, this agreement stops them, even though it is really obvious to anybody who looks at what's going on that it doesn't do that. So mutually assured destruction and of course, North Korea already has nuclear weapons because diplomacy going back to 1994, we've had announcements of great breakthroughs, and they've all failed. And so North Korea has nuclear weapons and increasingly sophisticated missiles to deliver them. So part of my contention is mutually assured destruction. When you're talking about Kim Jong-un, you're talking about Vladimir Putin and even Xi Jinping to a certain extent, that's no longer a viable strategy. We have to think beyond that.
There was an education process during the original Cold War. And I go from two movies in 64 to almost 20 years later. 1983, the day after, a TV movie. It was done without the sophistication of today's dramas. You know, nothing in those days could approach what HBO can do today. But in any event, it was taken very seriously at that moment. Ronald Reagan was in the White House. There was the beginnings of what seemed to be a deep depression, recession. And many people were alarmed that Ronald Reagan was not steady enough to lead the nuclear arsenal. And also at the time, there was a series of changes in the Kremlin. Leader after leader seemed to either be ill or old or unable to adjust to the modern world. There was at one point the head of the KGB was the leader of the Soviet Union. That is extremely similar to what we have today. The leader of the Soviet Union is a former chairman of the KGB, Vladimir Putin. The day after make the case that there was no winning a nuclear war. The puzzle here, Cliff, and you raise it in your op-ed about the MAD, is that still a thought in Moscow, in London, in Washington, in Beijing, that you cannot win a nuclear war? Or this new twist that a tactical nuclear weapon fired in a tactical fashion on a battlefield is sufferable? How do they think today in Washington, Cliff?
Well, in Washington, I think they think a nuclear war is unwinnable, but I'm not sure that Putin thinks that. I'm certainly not sure that Xi Jinping thinks that. He may think, if I could take out Washington, I don't care if I lose some of my people. China may think, a million people dead in America, that's the end of America, a million people dead here. We'd hardly notice. Mao went through something like that. Maybe we have to as well. And certainly the Islamic Republic of Iran, we've had statements from various leaders there saying such things like one nuclear weapon could destroy Israel. That might be worth it to us and us being Islamic supremacists who think that a Jewish state in the middle of the Middle East is simply intolerable. While you mentioned Reagan, let's also recall that he was the one who said, you know what, I don't think mutually assured destruction is a wonderful principle on a permanent basis. Let's think about missile defense that was ridiculed as Star Wars. You can't do that. You can't hit a bullet with a bullet. You got to be crazy. Well, the principle, of course, we can. And we had developed quite far in terms of missile defense, but not far enough. And most importantly, we haven't funded it for years. Obama totally defunded missile defense. And so now we are more vulnerable than we have been in a very long time. The Israelis have done good work on this. for themselves and for us. We use Iron Dome as well, and they have a couple of others, but you really need a comprehensive layered system. So part of what I'm saying in this piece is time to move beyond mutually assured destruction. You can't do it overnight, but that means deterrence for your enemies and as much defense as you can have, a layered comprehensive missile defense system as quickly as we can establish one.
All right, we bring up mutual assured destruction in the 20th century during the first Cold War. And now we turn to update it because exchanging remarks by the leaders of two nations that are at odds, that would be Russia and the United States, has once again confounded those who are watching Ukraine crisis from the sidelines, saying, could this be the predicate for a nuclear exchange? Are we looking at the apocalypse coming in the back door in the 21st century? Cliff May is the founder and president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.